The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts identifies as a cross dog blitz. It's Lenny. I'm Mina Kimes. Dominique Foxworth already heard that joke because we are taping a second version of this because the audio wasn't right. But he laughed again because that's the kind of friend he is. Dominique, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. All of the above to you.
Thank you so much. I'm having a great time. I love being around people 24 hours a day, every day, my whole life. So I'm looking forward to getting out of this and getting back to regular life.
You took the week off. Nate Tice. Great reviews.
Man.
Very well liked. Yeah.
Do you see concern in my face?
A little bit. Did you get a haircut? No, I figure you're like, I gotta.
That's stress. That's not concern. That's just stress and fatigue, knowing how much work I have to do to get this house back to normal once we're done recording.
Well, I gave you work for this podcast because I saw the schedule. I said, we cannot give our listeners a Chargers-Colts discussion. That would be a lump of coal of the highest degree. So I came up with a different conceit. I do New Year's resolutions. You do not do New Year's resolutions, to the shock of no one. Can you guess any of my New Year's resolutions? You know me pretty well. Try to guess one.
Yeah. Okay. One New Year's resolution. Sleep more.
Well, I can't really. Yeah, I mean, try.
that's the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know. Like, you work out a lot. That's a normal resolution. I highly doubt lose weight is on your list as a traditional resolution. You're pretty organized. That's something people go to most of the time. I don't know. You don't have. It's get
read
organized.
My mentions less. Come on, you know that. You know I'm always saying I need to read my mentions less.
Oh, yeah. That's
I am trying to increase the amount I run every day by 5 minutes a day. That's my goal, from 25 minutes to 30 minutes, because I don't really run. I'm not like a great athlete, but okay. So the reason I asked that is I went through all the playoff teams, all the teams that are even in the hunt, loitering, lurking, and we are going to give them New Year's resolutions for 2023 to get into the playoffs, to stay in the playoffs. Generally, more broadly speaking, things where like these teams will want to do next year, things that these teams will want to do next year. So let's just start at the top. This list expanded a lot. You're kind of giving me grief because I was like, oh, we should talk about the Packers. Oh, we should talk about the Dolphins. Oh, we should talk about the Titans. And so we're going to do a lot of teams. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering if we're going to talk about you, if you're still in playoff contention, we probably are. I figured we'll start with the Eagles. So I'll go first on this one because we just, you know, coming off of Eagles Cowboys, I was watching and I actually came away from that game like more impressed with the Eagles than, yeah. I wouldn't say more impressed with the Eagles than the Cowboys because I came away very impressed with Dak Prescott and still concerned about the Cowboys defense. We'll talk about Dallas in a second. But, you know, Philadelphia, like they looked exactly how I think we would have expected, right? Jalen Hurts probably would have put them over the edge, turnovers, yada, yada. However, and this is a little bit tied to health, my resolution for them is specific for this season. It is specific for making it to the Super Bowl. They have to figure out how to defend CeeDee Lamb. That was just the thing that jumped out to me in this game. Now, some of it had to do with Avante Maddox going out with a big part of it. And I think they do get CJ Gardner-Johnson back at some point, who's their starting safety. I haven't seen the latest on his injury status. But Dominique, you know, it was a lot of miscommunications in zone coverage. Some of it I would attribute to, I thought Kellen Moore did a fantastic job of scheming CeeDee Lamb open. CeeDee Lamb was amazing. Dak was incredible. But that to me is like, I actually think the Eagles have done a pretty good job fixing their run defense over the last month. So that we're like I'm picking nits, but that's something I think they're going to have to figure out for the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a tough place to start for New Year's resolutions for a team that's done just about everything perfectly. Like, I do think they should continue to draft quarterbacks. So I have that on my list, draft another quarterback. Also, yeah, I think so. I don't know about how high, but I think it's, to me, they've done a good job with Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts, I think, is a long-term enter. They should pay him. But I do believe that having someone, a legitimate backup ready to go, is something that they've done, and that backup turned into a starter, and it's something that they have now in Gardner Minshew. I just think to continue to sustain this, that's the one thing that felt to me like an interesting curveball that they should consider doing, even if it's in the third round, fourth round.
Is, I see. Okay.
Just go ahead and have somebody that you think is, I'm not saying number one, like not with
Don't aggregate Dominique and say that Dominique Foxworth, ESPN analyst, the Eagles need to replace Jalen Hurts.
Not with that Saints pick, but as your CD Lamb point, I think it had a lot to do with missing Maddox. It was alarming because one of the things that I use to defend them when people talk about how bad they are against the run is like, but they don't give up big plays. And that's what matters to me is those big chunk plays. They don't do that. They did it. And it was part of the problem. It's nice to see their offense still be pretty productive with Minshew. But I do think you're right about CeeDee Lamb specifically, but addressing that slot position in some way they need to do to reach their goals.
Yeah. And when you look ahead to competitors in the postseason, like the 49ers, I could see Kittle giving them some issues, frankly. But Dan mentioned something, which is he might have Slay actually play man on CeeDee Lamb and follow him a little bit. I don't know. I think, you know, this is a team that is obviously plays primarily zone. Dak was, I think, perfect against zone, if I remember seeing that correctly in this game, like something that like has not happened. Anyways, so they might consider playing a little bit more man next time. All right. Give me one for the Chiefs.
For the Chiefs. Okay, hold on. Let me find in my list of 400 teams that you made me do. Be grateful. Pay it forward. Be kind. Give to charity. Those are New Year's resolutions.
That's it?
You got Patrick Mahomes. Like, I mean, okay, address your defense. Your defense stinks all the time, perpetually. But, like, when you get Patrick Mahomes, it feels to me like you've won the lottery. And you need to be kind and grateful and give to charity and appreciate that the football gods. There are some teams that I have on here that should pray to the football gods more consistently. But Andy Reid has been doing it quite right so far. The defense issues, I don't know what it is about this, but I just remember all the times and like the Colts come to mind. What happens to your defense when your quarterback is great? It just always goes wrong somewhere along the line. I'm not sure what it is. I guess the Eagles could be a team this year that like pushes back against that. But when you have a truly great, all-time great quarterback who perpetually has your offense in the highest levels, your defense continues to suck no matter how many resources you throw at it.
That's the thing, right? No, most people would say, well, if you have a good quarterback and making a lot of money, you have less money to spend on the defense. But the Chiefs did really invest in their defense in the draft this year. So coming off the Seahawks game, I thought the DBs actually played really well, but the Seahawks, you know, we're down Tyler Lockett and the offense couldn't really get anything going. I just have a simple one to me for the Super Bowl and the playoff run. Somebody other than Chris Jones has to get to the quarterback on this team. It can be Frank Clark. It can be Carlos Dunlap. It can be George Karlaftis, who made a couple plays. But the pass rush outside of Chris Jones, it's like this has been a problem now for years with the Chiefs. When you look ahead to the other powerhouses in the AFC, it's going to continue to be a problem unless someone steps up. So,
yeah, I mean, in the long-term future, though, I do think they need to address the Tyreek Hill size hole in their offense. I don't know if Kadarius Toney is going to turn into that player, but as impressive and efficient as their offense has been, I still believe that you're asking a lot of Patrick Mahomes, which is fine. He can do it. But it's real nice to take some series off if you are Patrick Mahomes and throw and have Tyreek Hill streaking across the field or throw a 5-yard route that turns to a 50-yard touchdown like we see Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill do routinely in Miami. So that is the one issue on offense that I think they need to find a way to address. It doesn't seem like Sky Moore is going to be that player. Maybe it's Tony, but keep drafting, keep signing, figure out how you can get that threat back on your team.
Do you think that the I think they took Sky Moore before Christian Watson. Maybe not. I have to check that. But like, you know, he would be so good on this team. And it was kind of like they went into this offseason, you know, we were like, oh, okay, the identity of this offense is going to be different. They want to be able to work underneath. They have like shiftier guys, stronger guys. But it does feel like with, you know, and they signed MVS, but it does feel like a true reliable downfield threat is, you know, so needed to maximize what Patrick Mahomes gives you as a quarterback. So, okay, the Bills. I'll go first.
Okay, please do. Oh, no, there we go. All right.
So, will you go first, actually, then?
Enjoy the ride that is Josh Allen.
So stop saying, don't turn the ball over, Josh Allen. Yeah. This has been your thing for a minute, yeah.
I mean, that last game really tested my Josh Allen theories because he was really trying to throw it away. But he also, like, puts them on his back and makes incredible play after play. It's he's not Patrick Mahomes. We put him on that pedestal after the playoff game last year and after the good season the previous year. Like, he put together a bunch of stuff that suggests to us that he can be on the Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers at his prime level, where you are creating these like off script plays without turning it over. But he's got some Patrick, or he's got some of both of them in him, but he's also got some Brett Favre in him, where it's like some of the off script stuff is going to kill you on occasion. And I have no idea how you approach addressing that. Like, there is no way to address it, because 6 out of 10 times, it's going to be an incredible touchdown. 2 out of the 10 times, it's going to be a dropped interception. And then I think we got 2 times left where he's actually going to turn it over. Like, I like those numbers. Just go ahead and keep living that way. But yeah, going forward, I don't know. It feels like to me also they need to address that Gabe Davis spot.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing the game the right way, I guess, because you're talking about the playoff run and the Super Bowl, but for this season, but I think a little bit more long term for this offense and this team, and I think for all of the teams.
We can do both. I think that I'm kind of with you, where I'm less worried about Josh Allen's turnovers and the occasional, you know, mental lapses, and a little bit more worried about the fact that since he hurt his UCL, he's been weirdly inaccurate throwing underneath. It comes and goes in spurts. It really started after, though, that injury. I can't remember the game right after, but he came out and missed like 4 quick throws in a row, just wildly off target, and then puts together like an insane drive where he's throwing like lasers 20 yards down. So it's like confusing, you know, but it seems to me that is the issue coming out of this. So where that's a concern this season, as we look to the Bills, you know, potential Super Bowl run, I think that the offensive line is the Bills' potential Achilles heel, frankly. It's a problem, and I think, you know, that's where you get into situations where Josh Allen feels like he has to play hero ball a little bit more than you'd like. So my resolution for them is to continue to stay balanced and multiple. Something that I have liked over the last few weeks is Ken Dorsey, who's their play caller, I think has done a good job of calling runs out of spread looks and then calling throws out of heavier ones, getting mismatches for Allen, getting him so that it's not just like, okay, you know, he has to throw the ball 40 times a game and get them out of trouble with his arm over and over. It feels like they have a few more answers for the different looks that defenses are giving them. So I think, you know, what they've landed on with the run game, using their fullback a little bit, I think is something that makes this offense a little bit more tenable and hopefully keeps Josh Allen out of the like third and longs.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's generally take pressure off Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's it.
Ken Dorsey is finding ways to do that. More talent in the long term at the receiver positions will do that. Better protection and an offensive line that can effectively run block, because all of that, I think, adds up to asking Josh Allen, or expecting Josh Allen to do superhero stuff less often.
Okay. The Ravens. So the short and long term are very different for this team. I'll go first with the short term. Mm-hmm. The Ravens were flexed to Sunday Night Football, which seems a little bit ambitious by the NFL because we don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to be playing. It is still a very important game for this team. They're playing the Steelers, who are also, you know, kind of barely in playoff contention, I think. The answers are, of course, very different if it's Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley. I kind of think it's going to be Huntley, just the way that they're talking. So if you win one of these last, I think the last game is against the Bengals. So this is the game that strikes me as a little bit more winnable for this team. And given the Steelers, it really comes down to protecting Huntley. The Steelers' defense is very, very, very good up front, very good when quarterbacks have to get rid of the ball quickly as well. But when quarterbacks take 2.5 seconds or longer to throw, they fall to 28th in EPA. Their secondary is not the strength of this team. So if they can just protect Huntley long enough, I think that, and, you know, the Steelers also have a very good run defense, by the way. I think that they can put together enough drives to win this because I think the Ravens defense can handle Pittsburgh.
Yeah, easier said than done. And Huntley has given us enough games that we're no longer impressed with him meeting basic level stuff. And I think we're getting to the point where we have higher expectations of him and he's not able to reach them. So my again, I was trying to keep with the theme of actually using real resolutions.
Okay.
So I said, YOLO, you only live once, live life to the fullest. Because it feels to me like the Ravens find themselves in this general position, and I guess it's worked out well because you're doing a lot of short-term stuff and I end up doing the long-term stuff, is the Ravens have been competitive for as long as the Ravens have been around.
Yeah.
And especially this Harbaugh era. And they won a Super Bowl before Harbaugh. They won one with Harbaugh. But it feels like part of their success is being very calculated.
Hmm.
But I'm getting to a point where it feels like their window is... And maybe it's about shifts in the league and how the league is changing. And being around is one way to win a championship. And also, like, completely committing is another way to win a championship. And it hasn't felt like they've completely committed to Lamar because they haven't. And it hasn't felt like they've gone all in on addressing this wide receiver deficiency. So a lot of those things to me feels like you can't play for the future in the present. At some point, you just got to be like, all right, we're going in. That means 5 years from now, we're going to suck, but we'll deal with it.
They do take swings, just not to help their quarterback, right? Yeah. I mean, the Roquan Smith trade, that was a big swing. A guy who has not been paid yet. You're giving up, you know, pretty significant draft capital. That was them saying, hey, we want our defense to be better. And congratulations, your defense is better. They look good now, honestly. But I joked about this on Twitter. Like, when they signed Sammy Watkins, I was like, this is like when you're in fantasy football and you're just desperately streaming dudes, you know, in week 16 because everybody's hurt and you're like, ah, okay. Oh, no, it was Andy Isabella was the one, not Watkins. Like, you're right. Like, they don't act like a franchise that is committed to optimizing their quarterback. And
right.
Without knowing, you know, the contractual stuff and what's been offered and what's been put aside, set aside that stuff because who knows? We see what they've given him. I mean, yeah, they spent a first round pick on Rashad Bateman. It was a late first round pick. So that's nice. And you could argue that they've invested in the offensive line some, but this wide receiver group was not good enough, and it's still not good enough. And they're going to be in the playoffs, but they chose not to upgrade it significantly, and that was a decision. So to your point, yeah, like it does feel like if they truly want to keep Jackson and actually get the most out of him next year, from a personnel perspective, they also have to commit to that.
Yeah, just all in at some point. But I guess it's hard to argue with the results of this more methodical thing. It's like they're always hanging around, and it kind of feels like, well, we'll be, and they had that one season where they were 14-2, right, with Lamar when he won the MVP. But it always feels like they're like, with our coaching, with our general organizational stability will be around, and we'll just, like, one of these years we'll get hot and go to and win the Super Bowl, which, like, I guess is a strategy that is effective. But I also, I don't know, and this is, I don't own the team. My job's not dependent on it. As someone who watches sports, I had this issue with the Golden State Warriors, too, where it's like, you got something special. Like, pretending like you're going to find another player like Steph Curry, and, like, you can plan for that, to me seems foolish. And the same thing for Lamar Jackson. It's like, you got the guy on a rookie deal, and now that's coming to an end now. Go all the way in, and then if you stink after, you stink after. But whatever.
It's just, it's hard, too, and just look at the teams at the top of the NFL, and they all have a truly great wide receiver, minus Kansas City, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The Niners. This is the fun one.
Yeah, this was when I talked about there were teams that needed to pray to the football gods. It's them. Like, the injury history of the 49ers, it's not just the quarterback, it's significant defensive players in several years. But this year has really put it on display where I no longer believe that it's luck. Kyle Shanahan wronged the football gods somewhere along the lines. I don't know if it was throwing the ball in the Super Bowl when they had a big lead, but the football gods have been pissed at him ever since. And they forced him out there with Mr. Irrelevant. The defense is fairly healthy and still playing quite well, but they got to figure out what this injury issue is. Every year, it's Garoppolo going down, and now it's Lance and Garoppolo. So yeah, we'll see.
If they get, I mean, they are. If they get Debo back, they're pretty fully armed. But you know, knock on wood. Again, we've said that like a million times. I came with a very small one because I think this team, like, we're talking about injury luck. Like, this is a team that is extremely good, extremely well coached, extremely well run, and is playing really well with Brock Purdy. So mine is very minor. I would really like to see Kyle Shanahan continue displaying the sort of aggression he's shown. I don't know. Have you noticed this? I should look this up, but it seems like he's been more willing to go for it with Brock Purdy. That was kind of, to me, like the first sign when Purdy came in, where I was like, he went for it on some fourth down. And so for those who are unaware, Kyle Shanahan is very frustratingly conservative on fourth down, despite the fact that he's like the best run game designer in the history of football and has like an incredible complement of weapons. I think it was Purdy's first start. He went for it. And to me, that was the first moment where I thought, oh, he believes in Brock Purdy. Like, had him throwing the ball, too, and succeeded. And I have noticed since then, I should have grabbed these numbers. Like, it does seem like he is pretty confident in this offense with Purdy. And so when I look ahead to the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and I think, okay, this is the best defense in football, pretty clearly, what is it going to take? That's something that jumps out to me. Like, at some point, you know, Purdy's going to have some trouble, and maybe the offense isn't going to be able to move the ball. You saw it a little bit in the first half against Washington. In those situations, when your defense is as good as they are, you know, maybe, like, you know, don't kick that field goal. I don't know. Yeah. That's just kind of how I think, like, when I think about this team and what is it going to take to win the Super Bowl, that's something that comes to mind.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would say that we always stumble upon some really good conversations, and I think this might be one of them in this podcast, because you think the aggression is because he believes in Brock Purdy. I think it's because he doesn't, or he doesn't want to find out. Because my view,
he's
and
like,
I
this
think
is it. We might going to score on this drive, or we're not going to get back here.
Yeah, and I think it's also very smart because I think attacking early is a lower pressure situation for Brock Purdy. Like, trying to first quarter, second quarter, trying to score points at that point is lower pressure situation. What you don't want, in my view, for Brock Purdy is to be down two touchdowns or two scores in the fourth quarter. My view, Kyle Shanahan's like, if we're going to win with this guy, we're going to win with him in the first half. We don't have a situation where we can hang around and then they know we have to throw it and now Brock's got to get it. So, like, that's I don't know. And I think that probably, to go back to him throwing the ball in that Super Bowl, like, I think that's kind of generally his philosophy, is like, I'm going to attack when you think I don't need to attack, because I don't want to be in a position where you're like, all right, you gotta attack. So I know it doesn't completely like parallel, but I'm thinking in that Super Bowl, he's like, everyone's expecting me to pass now. Everyone's expecting me to run now. This is the down when I pass it, and then I can run later, because I don't want to be in third and 10 and everyone's like, we gotta pass, Matt Ryan, do something. That's scary as hell. Ask Jeff Saturday.
He probably also has a tremendous amount of confidence in his defense's ability to get three and outs, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that guy's got to be, like, looking at his, you know, his defense, looking at his team on the 50 or whatever and thinking, yeah, if we don't get this, you might not even get three. Like, I mean, you know, they are so dominant to me right now. Like, there were throughout the season, we're like, maybe, you know, Dallas is the best defense, Philadelphia's, no. Nah. Like, I think the gulf between the Niners Denver, and the rest of the... I think the gulf between the Niners and the rest of the league is significant and way bigger than we thought.
We need another word other than defense for teams like that. Because the way that I view their team is like, when you're saying... Everyone else is like, all right, so we don't want to put our defense back on the field because chances are, more times than not, something's going to go wrong. They have a defense, at least a front four, where it's like in with Warner. It's like the more chances that you have the ball, like the better off I feel. It's like I would almost rather be on defense because it's more likely that we're going to get a sack fumble or an interception or three and out than it is that we're going to – like it has to be a good feeling to not be sad to punt. Oh, we're punting?
Okay, so when the Seahawks played them a couple weeks ago, every time the Seahawks offense went back out, I was like, oh, God. Usually you're excited. You're like, oh, this is a chance. We get a score. I'm like, oh, God.
You feel better like hoping that Brock Purdy throws
he's gonna
you a
throw
pick
an interception.
Six.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, I would feel better on defense. I'm more comfortable on defense than on offense.
They look like... You know when, okay, I'm sorry, because I'm going to make another Twitter reference, but you know when you see, like, a bad tweet and then the numbers start piling up on the ratio? That's the Niners' defense. Like, they're just ratioing quarterbacks immediately, just getting quote-tweeting. Look at this idiot. Look at this idiot, you know? Like, those quarterbacks are doing the wrong kinds of numbers against them. I love this Niners' defense so much. I think they're so good. All right, the Vikings. You go first on this one.
Okay. Vikings. Oh, here we go. Stop catfishing. That's their New Year's resolution, is stop posting pictures of Justin Jefferson, and then when I meet you at the club, I see that it's actually your defense, which is putrid. Like, yes, yeah. You are highlighting your one nice feature, which is Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. All your pictures are close-ups of Dalvin and Justin Jefferson. Then I get there, and that defense, man, it made me so, like...
Yeah, you studied them recently. We talked about it.
Yeah, I it had me thinking that other defenses were better than they were, just because there were so many problems with that defense, and I don't know. It was sad to me, and they have a couple... good players on defense. Pat P is playing better than he's played in a long time. Danielle Hunter's come on lately.
Yeah.
And Smith has been great all year long, but that ain't enough. The rest of that defense, like, they need to be looking for a new coordinator. Maybe that's the resolution, is get you a fresh face.
That's definitely on the menu for the offseason. Yeah, the offense is good enough for the playoffs, you know? I mean, although I did say maybe first three quarters, play like the fourth quarter a little bit. But I just wrote tackle, please, tackle. I mean, especially in the NFC, the teams that they're going to play, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Eagles, you got to tackle. Not even on the ground, like they allow so many yards after the catch, watching them week after week after week. And that's good. I know they're trying to do like a bend don't break thing, but like that's going to be the defense is the problem in the postseason. So
is there another term for that? So like Catfishing isn't catfishing isn't the right term, because they are who they say they are, but it's like you only highlight their best features and then you fool people.
Yeah.
You really got a beer belly and you showing that you got like nice eyes or something.
I just watched the movie Don't Worry Darling. Have you seen that? I watched that with my parents.
I haven't.
Good. You know what? I can't even talk about it without spoiling it, so I'm not going to do it.
Should I watch? So that suggests that I should watch it.
It wasn't that good, to be honest. Right. Yeah, it wasn't that great.
We'll just call it Viking. It'll be a new thing.
Well, I think the problem with the Vikings, I mean, there's the problems with perception of the Vikings, which is kind of what you're talking about, and then there's problems with that football stuff, like what can they do better? Those are two different things. Yeah. How do you feel about, I know we're just tangenting, sorry. How do you feel about Justin Jefferson MVP? So I saw the Kyle Brand, the NFL Network, put out a video about how Kirk Cousins should be an MVP candidate, which I don't agree with. It's a video. You can watch it.
Generally, I like the idea of opening it up more than just quarterbacks. Like, I make an argument for somebody non-quarterback every year because I don't think – and maybe they should change the name of the award or whatever. But yes, obviously, it's going to be a quarterback because
they're the most valuable talking about player. Value.
Yeah, but if we do something like most outstanding or something, I do think we should.
Yeah.
Because that's a more fun conversation to me.
What strikes me watching him is there's so many things you could say about him, like the coverage doesn't matter. I mean, do you see the touchdown? I think is just amazing. It's like just watching a guy who's like so good at every little thing that goes into playing wide receiver. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but it's not just like, wow, he's a crazy athlete, or wow, he's fast, or wow, he's good after the catch.
Yeah.
It's like in a single given play, one of the touchdowns really jumps out to me. He will display like an insane release, insane route running. He will fool the defenders. He will display incredible play strength. He'll make an insane catch, and then he'll pick up yards after the catch. All like he does everything so well.
Kirk Cousins, man, when you don't have to read coverage, you're like, man, I don't care. Double him. I'm still going to him. He's going to make a play. And you know what the most amazing thing about Justin Jefferson is? He was on the same team as Ja'Marr Chase in college. and somehow Joe Burrow is good.
Yeah, like, so
you know
true.
What I mean? It's like, how do you? Because my assumption is, that quarterback must stink.
Totally.
He had the two best receivers in football on the same team in college. And somehow he was also like really
also
good.
Yeah.
I guess
they were like the best college offense of all time. And
that's the difference between them and like the Ken Dorsey era Miami Hurricanes. It's like those rosters were loaded, but Dorsey is a great offensive coordinator.
All right, let's do one more team and then take a break. This one is actually real. So the Bengals, let's line up with the Bengals. Very good team. Very hard to pick one. I was going to say play a complete game because the last 2 weeks have been kind of weird. And I think that's a reasonable one. But I'm actually going to throw out something a little bit more specific. So Lyle Collins is out for the season. And like he hasn't been awesome by any stretch. But the dude who came in for him, Hakeem Adeniji, you know, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem in the playoffs. So I wrote, figure out how to compensate for your situation at right tackle, because otherwise you're going to get, you know, 2020-22 all over again.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. I also just, the big picture for them is windows close fast. And that's what when I look at this roster, that's what I'm struck by, is it feels promising. And it feels like right now, it feels like, oh, we got the quarterback. Everything's in front of us. It's not something that Bengals fans are accustomed to, is having this promising window. And it also, like, when you look at the roster, you're like, man, this window could close fast, depending on what happens with T. Higgins, what happens on the offensive line, Joe Burrow's health, obviously. This thing could close fast. And then not even to mention the defense feels like a defense that is like fully optimizing its ability.
Yeah.
And it's still not great. So what happens when you aren't doing that? Yeah, so generally my thought is y'all better win it this year. Because the things change, and they're in that division with the Ravens and the Steelers, who two teams refuse to ever be bad, and the Browns refuse to be good.
Yeah. I mean, I think, they're going to pay both Burrow and Chase at some point, and those two guys, you're always going to be good, but you're not talking, we're talking about Super Bowl, Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and hit the Cowboys first.
With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet.
Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No way to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow, MinaShow.
Okay, so New Year's resolutions for the Dallas Cowboys. Mine is pretty simple. Bring down the quarterback. Watching the Eagles game, I thought this offense looks great. Dak's playing great. This defense is going to be a problem in the postseason. They have too many injuries in the secondary. Offenses have figured out how to take advantage of those injuries. And unless Micah Parsons was great in the game, by the way, he was causing problems all the time. But the reason I'm saying specifically bring down the quarterback is unless Micah or DeMarcus, unless they get home, it's not pretty. in the back end. They have one sack over the last 3 weeks. Gardner Minshew went 11 for 11 against the blitz. This is a team that is entirely dependent now on its pass rush to come through in big moments, because otherwise they've got problems.
Yeah, mine is a little bit more bleak. Lower expectations.
Wow.
Because of all the things that you said. I mean, I'm sorry.
So you were unimpressed. I mean, Dak was great.
Yeah, he was. I mean, with exception of the first touchdown pass that he like threw, like an impossibly easy pick six to Sweat. It was crazy. But after that, he was great. He's always like has that ability, and he's always like I'm never concerned about Dak nearly as much as the rest of people are, which is why I get like dubbed a Dak apologist, which I don't think is fair, but who cares? The point is, I've watched them closely very recently, and they are not as good as we pretend they are, as the public or as Jerry Jones pretends they are or as they think they are. I don't think they're as good as the Eagles. They won that game because I think the Eagles collapsed at the end. And as much as I like Dak Prescott, as much as I respect Dak Prescott, neither the offense or the defense could put the game away when they had a chance. Like, that offense was kicking field goals when they were moving down. It's like, all right, you got another chance. I think the defense, so in defensive defense, I think they created a turnover, right? Maybe it was a fumble or something to give the Cowboys the ball at midfield. And I was like, all right.
Took the ball out of Watkins' hand. Is that the one you're thinking? Yeah, because there was a Miles Sanders fumble. That was truly impressive. Like, they were going after him all game, and he just took it out of his hand.
He did it twice, didn't he? Or did Watkins got it snatched twice?
Watkins gave it away twice. Bland is, I will say, like, Bland is ups and downs, but he's got some ups in him.
Yeah. But I guess that's when I had his revelation when I was, I had to watch this game the next morning because Christmas Eve, right? Anyway, I was out. So anyway, I watched it the next morning, knowing the result, and like expecting, like it was on in the back, but like watching it intently, knowing the result, expecting the Cowboys, and like I knew that they were down. I knew they came back, and I'm expecting the Cowboys to like put it away, and like at some point, and maybe that's why. And I was watching. I was like, oh, they never put them away. Like the offense didn't. The defense didn't feel like at any point they forced. Is it true? Like, I think the Eagles never punted. Like, it just.
They were moving the ball really well on
that. Yeah. And it's never the offense that we have to be concerned about with the Cowboys, despite the fact that we always end up talking about how Dak's not good enough. We need to run the ball more, or Kellen Moore is trying to get too cute. Like, right now, guys, it's that defense that we all love. They're the problem.
Yeah. And they're hurt, so it's not. Yeah. That's to get my point about bringing on the quarterback. Like, the secondary is not going to get better. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I guess with Deshaun Wright plays more. You know, he came in, replaced Kelvin Joseph at corner. Maybe he'll get better as the season goes along. But it really, like, you know, Micah Parsons, you got to take over in the playoffs and against teams like the Niners that can use motion against them on the ground and. It's going to be a big problem for that team. All right, I'll be quick on the Chargers. We talk a lot about this team and the frustrations with the offense, so I'll just throw out like a little specific one for this year because they are in the playoffs. Congratulations, Chargers. I think they got to get Mike Williams involved more early. That it's simple, you know, and I understand that there's obviously he's the focus of coverage, although, you know, with Keenan Allen on him on the field at the same time, it becomes a little bit easier to get one or both of them open. But I just think he's like really the only like really special. I mean, Keenan Allen will still, you'll move the chains, and Eckler is pretty good after contact. But Mike Williams is the guy who's going to get you big plays in this offense. And big plays, of course, have been lacking.
Leave Los Angeles.
Mean.
It's not mean. I think that Derwin James is incredible. Bosa's awesome. Herbert, maybe the most talented quarterback in the league. And nobody in the city where you play gives a damn. Like, they're below the Clippers as far as, I mean, you live in LA. Name a LA Chargers fan.
Clinton Yates.
Is Clint's a Charger fan?
He adopted the Chargers like three years ago. Yeah,
good for him. Now that's it. The end. I mean, seriously though, like the long-term view for them is like get some speed in the receiving core. I think so. Yes, I think that's the big.
That's the number one thing they got to do.
Number one thing, and maximize that quarterback, and also Sean Payton, convince him. Leave LA. You don't know? You don't like Sean Payton?
No, I don't think they're gonna move on from their coach after making the
playoffs. I don't think they will either.
Do you see him doing yoga? See those?
Yeah, it's cat cowing, backing that thing up.
He's really. I feel he was kind of like the internet's darling last year,
yeah.
And I feel like it's been a little bit more divisive this year because there was like a quote. I think it was. Oh yeah, he was asked what his favorite Thanksgiving food was, and he said cauliflower steak. And I was like, all right, pause. You need an image consultant immediately. Let me help you out here because I appreciate that he's like. There's no toxic masculinity with this dude, right? Like he is very honest and modern, but like
pick something else.
He's done a good job with the defense though. Yeah. They have really turned things around and they're going to add Bosa. So that's, yeah. It's funny. We talked about the Chargers. I don't think we've kind of just talked about Herbert all season, but the defense could be pretty good in the playoffs.
Yeah. Our last podcast, we heaped praise.
We did, yeah.
On them, on their defense. Yeah, so he deserves no more. Stop cat cowing.
All right. A defense that does not deserve heaping some praise, the Giants. This is my they're probably gonna be in the playoffs. I think they just gotta win one, maybe both their last two games, but they're not too difficult. I think one. So there's problems with this defense across the board, secondary, injuries, all of that. Could choose a number of things. I'm gonna go specifically win at the line of scrimmage, and this is a pass rush that's ascendant, but again, like, you know, I think that they're going to have to be great because they're secondary, and then the run defense is a problem, actually, up front. They allow the most yards per contact of any team in football, 3.41. That's a lot. And again, you know, when we look to the playoffs and think about sort of the teams they're going to face, it's kind of a trend here for me. I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, the long-term view for them, honestly, is draft well. Like, they need to be assigning all their resources now, not to preparing for a playoff game, but to figuring out how they can fill this roster with talent. Because I actually, like, there's another team that I've randomly watched a lot of recently, and they are well-coached and disciplined but on defense, but they aren't that good, which is a problem. They don't have a bunch of difference makers, and so they don't blitz as much as, although they lead the league, I think, in blitz percentage, they don't blitz as much as I expected them to, or at least they don't blitz as aggressively. They do a bunch of things that a lot of the models consider blitzes but aren't actually blitzes, where they'll send a linebacker, like a zone blitz essentially, but it's not a true blitz, so they end up with a four-man rush. And they'll drop out an outside linebacker or something because they don't have the faith in their coverage in the back end. So, like, the computer will count it as a blitz, but, yeah. Like, they still have all the coverage back there. And the Wink Martindale, who was, like, the king of the zero blitz, like, he does it sparingly now, it seems like. And, yeah, so I think it's really about them long-term future. It's, like, making these decisions, Daniel Jones and Saquon, but more importantly, like, y'all got to start getting some guys in there because they are overachieved like hell considering the lack of receiver talent and lack of like defensive difference makers. Like
corners and wide receivers.
Yeah.
They need.
I mean, I also think they need like, I don't know, I guess Thibodeau is too early. He's shown some glimpses of being a difference maker. He's been a difference maker in games, but like, somebody who's consistently like the opponent shows up and is like, where's this guy? They don't got guys like that, and you're gonna need some of them on offense and defense. It's like Saquon.
They really need a middle linebacker too. Yeah. Like that's oh my god, that's a real in coverage for them. Their linebackers are a problem.
So aggressive against the run too, which like the play action, those
oh my god.
Holes,
oh yeah.
Enormous.
So bad against play action. All right, what do you have for the Jags?
I don't know. What do you have for the Jags?
So the Jags basically they're in a really good position to make it into the playoffs. They just have to beat the Titans in Week 18. So I just have bring down Ryan Tannehill, get the pass rush going. Because I don't really think the Jags have to change anything on offense. I think everything they're doing, they've been doing over the last few weeks, is really smart. Talked about Doug Peterson on this podcast, trending in the right direction. I think they got Calvin Ridley joining next year. Like, I feel great about this offense. The defense, however, still really struggles to stop the pass. And I think, you know, going up against the Titans offensive line that's really, really, injured and struggled, we'll see if they get Trevon Walker back for that game. Every now and then the Jags pass rush looks really good. It's kind of hit or miss. So I think that's a game where you need the pass rush to take over on that side of the ball.
I like that. For some reason, I didn't put the Jags on my list, so I didn't come up with a name for them. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot that they were in the league, apparently, even though
I talk about the Jags so much lately. I'm glad they're in the playoffs. I hope that they make it to the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah, they're a fun team. I like them. That of that division, like, that's the team that I want to see play more than anybody else. And they seem ascendant. It's like, it's hard to them and the Lions. I have a hard time thinking about. They feel a little better because they have an answer quarterback. The Lions don't have that, but I have a hard time thinking about those teams because they just occupy a space in my brain of ineptitude that's not fair to put on the current teams.
I have to own up that I probably overhyped the Lions over the last few weeks.
Oh yeah,
Let's do the Lions really quickly, even though they're, you know, it's going to be, they have to win out, then they need the Commanders and Seahawks to lose one. Possible. I mean, it's run defense. It's not really, I mean, yeah.
And I also think that it's look in the mirror. It's like actually take an honest look in the mirror. And the offense has been very good. I do not believe that the quarterback is of the future is in that building. And I think a lot of the advanced stats would support that. I think last I checked, it may have changed this week, but last I checked, his, I think he was negative in completions over expected. And it seems like they do a lot to protect him, like both literally and like with offensive linemen and extra guys in, and also with route combinations that are like two-man routes, and it's like, all right, throw it here or throw it away type stuff. So anyway, long story short, his numbers look better than I think he actually is.
Be honest about it. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the fact that they're probably going to lose their offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson is doing a really, really good job this season making life easier, as you just described, for Jared Goff. So I think to your point, you want a quarterback who can create a little bit more, a lot more than Goff. So I think that's a good policy. Okay, the Bucks. Figure out why you're so much better in no huddle situation. I mean, but some of that is, it's tough because you can't just, I mean, obviously, like, when you're in no huddle, defenses play you differently. There are certain things like that make your offensive line's life easier. So it's not as simple as like, just don't huddle the entire game. That said, I do think they could benefit from passing more, from being a little bit more aggressive earlier in games, from using tempo intermittently at least, because the discrepancy between how they look through an entire game and then at the end is, I don't know if I can, if I, like, I don't know, like, not many teams come to mind, Dominique, that have shown that sort of split.
Yeah, we talked about this before, that is, when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, you might be giving yourself an advantage by doing that. Even if you don't do hurry up, but you do no huddle, there's limited things that a defense like practices and can communicate in a no huddle situation. You're going to be running basic stuff. You might have one blitz that your middle linebacker or safety could call, but most of the time you're running basic stuff. With Tom Brady, you have an advantage there. And generally offenses have a lot more in their no huddle offense than defenses have defenses. So obviously a quarterback like Tom Brady can find the figure out what you're in and call the right play to attack that. So yes, you do get an advantage there. My New Year's resolution for them, however, is Delete his number. Delete his number. Tom Brady, you got to blow it up. You got to end this relationship. Like, this is a relationship that's run its course. It's not a long-term thing. And you guys tried to make this year work because you had a spark the year before. And it's and he played you, he broke up with you, and then came back. And you were like, oh, yes, we'll make Bruce Arians leave the whole building. Like, it just feels like you're holding on to this relationship too long. Blow it up. Delete his number. Stop answering his calls. He's a nice guy, but he's not right for you.
I think they have to look at their roster and be sort of self-aware, to your point. This is not a roster that's right for Brady and vice versa. I think it is maybe like a nicer way to, you know, like you're, I mean, it's kind of what you're saying, right? Like, and Brady, like, obviously, I think has to feel the same way. You know, people just grow apart.
Exactly. You guys had a great year. That one year was magical. Now, grow apart. Different right, directions.
The Carson Wentz-led Washington Commanders, they made the change quietly at the end of San Francisco game, took some people by surprise. If you're watching Taylor Heinicke the last few weeks, it's actually not that surprising. I think his limitations as a quarterback have grown too glaring in this, particularly in the red zone. You know, I mean, people really get mad about the play calling and some of the, you know, but it, a lot of it has to do with his arm talent or lack thereof. So you're going to Wentz. They could still get in, you know, if they got the Browns and the Cowboys, it's a little bit tough sledding. It's always kind of the same thing with Carson Wentz, right? Don't turn the ball over. I think this defense is good enough.
Yeah, however, my advice for them is to find new ownership.
Oh, well,
like,
yeah.
That's what it all boils down. Like, they they aren't real competitors. Like, this team is, it's sad when I saw the Dirk statue unveiling.
I thought the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
First thing that came to mind is the Sean Taylor art installation. I don't know what they call it. It's not a statue. And I don't know. It just, that's symbolic of the many failures. And I guess it's not even fair to say that's symbolic, because the failures there are much worse than a disappointing or multiple disappointing tributes. But yeah. I do think that this organization has been stuck in the mud and since Dan Snyder has taken over, and his ownership has been detrimental to a lot of individuals and to the league as a whole. And I don't know, it's hard for me to think about any changes that they need to make or any positions they need to address until they address that one.
I don't know if Ron Rivera, I think he's probably going to keep his job, would be my guess. But I was thinking about this job compared to some other jobs. And I was thinking, like, aside from Dan Snyder, it's actually pretty attractive. Like, you've got some pretty good young players on both sides of the ball. You know, all you really need is a quarterback.
It's like saying this house is my dream house, aside from the fact that it's haunted. Dan Snyder, you can't brush that aside. Like,
it's like that show, The Watcher. Do you know about that show?
Yeah.
It's based on a New York Magazine article where, like, a couple moves into a house and they start getting letters from someone who calls himself The Watcher. And they don't know. They can't find him. And it's like they ultimately can't live in the house because of these creepy letters. Yeah. Dan Snyder's The Watcher.
He is. Oh, well, sorry. Let's bring it up. I'm sorry to bring down the show, but I had a hard time talking about, like, oh, we got to.
Well, they're all shows kind of negative because it's like, here's how to be better. So it's not really like a positive show. Okay, the Packers. Packers have put themselves in a position to get into the playoffs. They just have to beat the Vikings and the Lions, and then they need either the Commanders to lose once or the Giants to lose out, unless I'm, okay, so I think the Packers offense is fine.
Yeah.
That's been my big conclusion over the last month. Oh, wow, like, now with Christian Watson playing the way he is, Romeo Dobbs, Rodgers has been reasonably well protected, run game's good, they look fine. The issue is the defense, and so my resolution is specific to getting into the playoffs, and then when you're there, which is build on what you have showed us with the run defense over Christmas. I was really impressed by how they played against Miami after the first quarter. It was 11 carries for 26 yards. I thought the outside linebackers, Hollins and Smith, did a really good job of setting the edge. Jaron Reed was really good. There were a couple, the Dolphins run a lot of outside zone, so there were a few plays where they walked Quay Walker down to the line of scrimmage to do that six-man front that defenses do against outside zone. That was also really effective. That is going to be why this team either doesn't get into the playoffs or loses in the playoffs. So if you can build on that, and it's, I'm just talking about three quarters in one game, but I'm just, the offense is fine. You just have to play competent run defense in to be competitive.
Yeah, I think fine is the right word for the offense because it's not to Aaron Rodgers' level or what you would expect. Particularly, like, I mean, he hit some of those passes that we remember him hitting. I think the one to Mercedes Lewis that was.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, my God, where he was blitzed and that was insane. Yeah. Oh,
my God.
Still got it. Yeah. That was wild. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a catch, but who cares? Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? That throw, man. And he did it a couple times in that game. And he also had some throws that I was like, ugh. You know, like that was, it didn't
look
like
he moved too. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that was a big thing. Yeah. He like actually ran, scrambled and ran the ball. And like, I think the week prior they ran a couple boots and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Got him out of the pocket and got him accustomed to moving again. And then this week he scrambles and runs and scrambles and make things happen. So to me, it's, they might make the playoffs this year, but they aren't a real legitimate contender to me for them. It's similar to the Ravens situation where it's like, you got one more year with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I assume he's coming back. This is like, you go all in, you set your franchise back in the future. That's fine. This is the year you figure it out. I don't know what the answer is for them defensively because they've been they've been one of the most talented teams. As much as we give Lil Goody Brian Gutekunst, the general manager there, like, he's done a really impressive job. The one thing that you would say that he did wrong was to draft Jordan Love, but Aaron Rodgers responded to him drafting Jordan Love by being a back-to-back MVP. So, like, maybe that wasn't the design, but Aaron Rodgers was not playing well prior to that. Yeah. Jordan Love shows up, he starts cooking. So, the criticism about getting him receivers, I guess that's fair, but he also always had Devontae Adams.
Christian Watson looks great, though.
I know. I was talking about over the course of last several years. Like, that was the major criticism. Like, he's always, the defense has always been really talented, but not good enough. And the offense has always been really good, where, I don't know, they've been a Super Bowl favorite for all of the past several years. And we need to respect Lil Goody's work, and next year is your last year before you have to blow it up.
It's really funny because they really just have to fix the defense. Like, we were talking about this, they're probably not going to get Aaron Rodgers a receiver because the defense is far more pressing.
You remember Stephen A. like was calling LaFleur, he was like pronouncing it funny, and then like word got back to Stephen A. that LaFleur didn't like it, and Stephen A. stopped. I'm very disappointed. I've been calling Brian Gutekunst Lil Goody, a Goody main, for the past three seasons. No one's called me to ask me to stop. That means that I'm not nearly big enough. It's unfortunate.
Or it just might mean that Brian Gutekunst isn't like dialed in to media the way Matt LaFleur is. I think that's.
Or he likes my name because Lil Goody is a hard nickname.
Goody main is a little bit less, because Lil Goody implies that he's small. I've never seen.
No, like, these kids these days, they all call themselves Lil. It's a thing.
Right,
Lil,
so you don't actually have to be Lil.
You don't have to be Lil to be Lil anymore. Now it's just like homage to Kyle Shanahan's favorite rapper, Weezy.
That's true.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Panthers are in playoff contention. Panthers-Bucks, man. I'm going to preview that this week. Panthers-Bucks. Big one. Who would you rather watch in the playoffs, Panthers or the Bucks?
Obviously the Panthers.
Yeah, right?
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, I think...
At least they're different.
Yeah. And I'd be lying if I said, like, for a final drive, I'd like to have Tom Brady over... Like, I'd like to watch... We saw what Tom Brady did last year in that last drive against the Rams. I'd like to watch Tom Brady at the end of the game more than Sam Darnold. Call me crazy. But for the rest of the game, give me Sammy and them boys, because the Bucks are hard to watch.
They're very unpleasant.
Yeah. And also, like, they likely are going to play a good team.
Well, they're going to play Dallas. Not. It's going to be Dallas. So one of these teams is going to play Dallas.
They beat Dallas early in the season. But I think Dallas will crush them.
I think so, but I don't know.
Never know.
Panthers, I think, would give Dallas some problems on the ground because they traded away Christian McCaffrey and became like the most devastating rushing attack known to man. And so to that end, I'm not worried about the Panthers on the ground. I think Sam Darnold has been playing within himself reasonably well, making some plays with his legs. But the big problem, and this is going to be an issue for them getting into the playoffs and then and winning a playoff game, they lost J.C. Horn, who was their best defensive back, to injury. The secondary now is a real problem. So the pass rush has to go nuclear. Brian Burns, they actually, the defensive tackles too, Brown and Ioannidis, like they're good up front. They're going to have to be great because behind them is bad, really bad.
J.C. Horn is really good.
Such a good player. That was such a bummer for him.
I think you and I might have talked about this before, just generally about the state of cornerback play. It's really impressive to me in the league, and I posited some theories if I had the time and people had the interest, like really doing some research and writing something about that would be fun and interesting. But missing J.C. Horn is going to be a problem. This team, obviously, they're building for something else that's not immediate. Getting the coach question answered is a big one. And as much as I want Steve Wilks to be the guy, as much as I like root for the league to do better with minority hiring, I'm not sure that Wilks doing what he's done with them up to this point means that he's going to be a good long-term answer at coach. So I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm not like, I just don't know.
Well, job number one is going to be young quarterback for this team. It's a really attractive job. I think it's the most attractive of all head coaching jobs, regardless of whether Wilks stays or who takes it, because the roster has a lot of talent on both sides of the football. There's some holes, you know, but there's talent. The offensive line is playing so well, which is a big part of the reason why Sam Darnold and the run game look good. So, they're in an interesting spot next year for sure. But if they want to do anything this year, it's about the pass rush. Okay, so the team that they beat, the Seahawks, still have a path. They have to beat the Jets and the Rams to get
winnable.
Mike White, we'll talk about that game because of big playoff ramifications. You know, people have kind of turned on Geno a little bit. I don't think that's the problem. Weirdly, I mean, like, the defense has actually played okay over the last couple of weeks after some pretty miserable performances. But when I look towards these games in particular, I really think it's going to come down to stopping the run and then stopping play action. Especially, like, that's... it's this Jets game is it, right? And the Rams. And both of those quarterbacks, you have to stop play action, which is something that the Seahawks have struggled with all season. They're, by some metrics, the worst play action defense in the NFL. That is a big problem.
Yeah, I think that's a tough combo of things to have to stop.
Yeah.
Because the way that you stop, I mean, there are, like, diametrically opposed in some ways to, like, the things that you do. I think man coverage is probably the best answer to try to address both play action and the running game is man coverage and good eye discipline. And I can look it up right now, but the Seahawks are not, they're among the lowest teams in percentage of man.
Oh, man, yeah. No, yeah. It's zone. They don't blitz. They're very, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a tough thing to ask for. Like, being aggressive against the run in zone means that you're going to leave big gaping holes. Being aggressive against the run in man means that if you have good discipline, then the guy who's supposed to block you, if he goes out on a route, then you can run with him. If he blocks someone else, then you attach and you fill in your, like, I think, I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining it, but like, yeah, you're better off. But also, like, man is just harder to do for everyone, particularly when you don't have great cornerbacks. So like, man is nice inside for the linebackers against play action or RPOs. But on the outside, then you got your corners in man coverage, and it's a really hard thing to do with the current state of the league and the rules and the accuracy of quarterbacks.
You know, you were talking earlier about the young corners who are all playing good. What strikes me, though, is like, a lot of them are really good in man coverage, mm-hmm, including when they do play. Tariq Woolen is obviously very, very good for them. He's been, they don't play a lot of man, and I actually really like him as a zone corner because of his closing speed. Like, he's so good at breaking on the ball, but I think he has that capability. He's not like Sauce Gardner or J.C. Horn or the other corner. You know, we were talking about the Panthers and how good Horn is, but maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the tough thing, like, you can be good at man, you can be great at man. You're gonna get beat.
Yeah,
like, it's the nature of the beast, and like, yeah. So anytime you major in that, it's really hard on the corners, particularly with the, like, it feels like, I don't know, 60% of the teams in the league have a guy that you can't just man up all game because he's gonna get you at some point, even if it's not on Justin Jefferson's level. It's like somebody you can't just leave out there. I know Terry McLaurin comes to mind as a guy, yeah, who, like, you better not. You better help out. You better play zone. Like, he's going to get you even if you have one of these really good young corners.
So, what do you have for the Seahawks?
The Seahawks. I don't know. I think something. Do something better. Pay your man, Geno. He's a free agent, right?
Yeah, he's a free agent.
I think that's the big question for them is, like, figuring out what direction you're going to go in. I don't know what the market's going to be for Geno Smith, but you can't let him leave. But you also need to figure out who your quarterback of the future is, because it doesn't feel like it's Geno Smith unless they get him under a good contract. And then I guess Pete Carroll's trying to build something. I mean, that's the challenging thing about building in the modern NFL is, if your quarterback is good enough to be your quarterback, you have to pay him top of the league money.
Yeah.
And then it's really hard elsewhere. If you can find somebody like Geno who's, like, potentially happy there and is like, yeah, I'll take not top of the league money, then you can build.
Tannehill contract, yeah, or something.
That's a fair one. And they've been really good elsewhere around him, which is...
Yeah. I mean, that would be my preference, is to give him that kind of contract, maybe draft a quarterback later, a developmental guy, mm-hmm, not later, like maybe even like later in the first round. Fine. But yeah. I want, they have so many issues on that defense. I have like 20 Photoshops of Jalen Carter in Seahawks uniforms saved on my phone. So don't give me that look. I didn't make them. I asked for them. Weird.
Yeah. I think asking is worse. You're not ashamed of it. Like, if you made them alone, then, like, the personal shame that you had.
That's a lie. I did make one. I did the Wolverine, you know, where Wolverine's holding the
picture. Oh, yeah, looking frame. At the picture. Yeah.
I did one where I'm Wolverine. Or not, I'm, but, like, in my mind, I'm Wolverine looking at a photo of him.
Greatest cartoon ever made, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We do talk about it a lot on the show.
Who was your favorite character?
Wolverine. He's always been my favorite X-Men.
Yeah, that's basic. It's like Michelangelo being your favorite Ninja Turtle.
Who's your favorite X-Men?
Rogue from the cartoon.
I think you were
you calling me a creep? Are you calling me a creep? Are you calling me a creep?
Saying Rogue is your favorite X-Man is the equivalent of being HOM. You can Google HOM if you
I was like 12 or 13. Leave me alone, man.
You're revealing that
I'm a red-blooded American man. Yes, I am. I'm sorry, Mina. Let me apologize.
Saying.
Good powers. It was a good power. You could, like, I was going to use a word that I obviously can't use. You can take power from other people. I'll text you what I was going to say and how it was going to be a problem. But she could take power from other people. I thought it was a cool power.
Titans, I just wrote, go crazy with Malik in the run game. Just go, you know, give me the wishbone. Go nuts.
Well, Malik doesn't look good, guys. That's scary. But I guess they didn't draft him high, so it's not a problem.
You know, it's a tough situation, too. But yeah, just go nuts, running him. Do you have any separate for the Lions? We've got three more teams.
Nope.
Or two more teams.
I lost you. Your energy's down. You're making fun of me because I like Rogue. Like, I mean, we already did the Lions. I told him to look in the mirror. Remember?
Oh, yeah. We did
Lions.
Just
get on your flight. Go home.
Okay. We didn't do the Jets, who are playing the Seahawks and the Dolphins, both of whom. It's kind of the flip side, actually, of the Seahawks. I said stop play action. Jets, use play action. Mike White, is going to be back for this game, which gives him obviously a much better chance of winning. I have no year's resolutions for the defense. The defense is great. I think the resolution for their long term is pretty obvious. Yeah. Give Zach Wilson a contract.
I don't know. You think he could play safety? Or maybe corner. He could be a white corner.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's tough. I do feel bad for him, too.
This is, however, a delightful destination for a quarterback.
It is. Yeah.
Derek Carr.
They need to woo Tom Brady. It's New York City. He might want to be in New York City. That's my resolution for the Jets, was woo Brady.
Really?
I mean, mostly because I want to see Garrett Wilson with a regular quarterback because he's so nasty.
Well, I guess that brings us to the last team, the New England Patriots. I have a feeling what yours might be, but I'll go first. They are still in playoff contention. I'm not even doing the offense. There's a bunch of things we could do for the offense. I think that, but realistically, their only chance, I think, of winning these games is if they're playing the Dolphins and the Bills. It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, most likely. We'll see about that. I'm going to talk about that game later. And actually, I want to talk about the Dolphins, put a pin in that. And Josh Allen. So I wrote, the defense has to trick the quarterbacks and force them into mistakes, which they are very good at. Bill Belichick's defense, very good at.
Mine is, again, more long-term focus. It's Bill Belichick, make some new friends. Broaden your horizons.
You would know. Bill O'Brien's going to be the offensive coordinator next year.
The coaching staff has to be, get some fresh ideas in there, man. It can't be all relatives and failed head coaches that were once your assistants. So go to some new spots. I don't know, pick up a new hobby. Go sit down at the library and chop it up with a random and make a new friend. That's it.
I think that's very good. Let's talk briefly about the Dolphins as we wrap here.
It's all about Tua now, right?
Let me say this. They are still in the hunt. I am going to talk about the game. It's a big game. Probably Teddy Bridgewater's play. I'm going to talk about the X's and O's of that previewing this week because it's a winnable game for them still. So, for those who missed the news, Tua Tagovailoa did enter concussion protocol after hitting his head this last weekend in the fourth quarter against Green Bay. Video kind of surfaced after the game, people saying, someone said, hey, I think he might have been concussed, and then it turned out he was. He self-reported, which is great that he did that. Not so great that, during the game he kept playing.
I feel really guilty about the text that I sent to friends upon seeing those interceptions before I knew that he was concussed. because those were some really bad interceptions that make a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I guess I should have had the wherewithal to like go back and say maybe something's wrong, because those were bad picks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, I was trying to think of recent examples of like a player who suffered this many concussions in a season, and they're just, there probably are many that we don't know about, right, for sure, 100%. But like for a quarterback, I was really hard pressed, Dominique, to think of an example like this. And it's really, really scary.
My mind always goes back to like Steve Young, I really like, but that's a long time ago. And stuff like that. But yeah, it is really scary. I'd be surprised if we saw him again this season, which obviously changes the prospects for this team going forward.
Yeah, I think that it'll be, I think you're right about that. It would be also really hard to watch. I mean, it's his decision, it's, you know, his obviously he's going to talk to his doctors and whatnot, but boy, that would be scary to see. And it obviously goes, this is an issue that goes beyond this season for him. So we'll see what happens. It's a true bummer, a truly, truly depressing story. And yeah, I feel bad too. I was like, that is crazy when I was watching those interceptions in real time, but it does explain it to some degree. And I don't know, like the first time this happened, we had all these like discussions about like the NFL and spotting, and I haven't really seen that right now. You know, I think it's one thing that, as I understand it, like if you bang your head, it's one thing, but the spotters are supposed to take you out if you stumble coming up. And I don't know if he stumbled afterwards necessarily. So it's entirely possible that nobody did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings us back to like the conversation you and I had when this first started, which is it's the sport, like there's no fix for the sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There is no fix. We can do what we can to make people safer. There's no rule about like how many times you can enter the concussion protocol through the course of the season. I'm not sure that there should be one, because then guys might be hesitant to enter. But like there should be some awareness or attention to it, because last time I was like deep in the concussion research, it's clear that the more that you have, the easier it is to have them in short periods of time, and the more potential damage you could be doing. So yeah, I don't know what that means about Tua for the rest of this year, but we should be aware of it and cautious going forward.
I'm glad he self-reported. I guess that's all I have to, it's just kind of the only takeaway I have, and I hope for the best for his health. All right, Dominique, this was really long, sorry.
It was.
I'm sorry. Okay. I said it would be a lot shorter. I will see you next week. We will have a very exciting game to talk about next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait. Bye.